Let's begin this hour by talking about a really significant issue that's affecting a lot of people nationwide in North Carolina and here locally, and that is the issue of wage theft. We have minimum wage laws nationally and in North Carolina, but they have to be followed and they have to be enforced. And very often you see people, thousands and thousands of people in North Carolina alone, in fact, who work jobs that legally should be paid at least a minimum wage, who get stiffed by their employers. This is a very significant issue that, again, hits tens of thousands of people just in North Carolina alone, and the impacts are local as well as statewide and national. We're joined now in the studio by Lori Kamala. She's the, and correct me when I start to get this wrong, director of the North Carolina Immigrants' Rights Program, interim national coordinator of the Sanctuary Everywhere Initiative with the American Friends Service Committee, AFSC.org. is their website. And in addition to wearing all of those hats, joining us here in the studio today to talk about this issue. Lori, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So what I just gave was the 5-second summary. Tell us about the extent of the issue of wage theft in North Carolina and across the country.
Absolutely. And you described it really well. Wage theft is basically the failure to pay workers the full wages that they are legally owed. And wage theft comes in a lot of forms. It's not just, you know, failing to pay, though that's certainly part of it, but it's also the underpayment of wages. We're talking about not paying overtime when it is owed, maybe taking illegal deductions from a paycheck, not distributing tips in the case of many restaurants. So there's all kinds of ways that workers are abused in terms of wage, and their wages are essentially stolen from them. And it is a very widespread problem. We're talking in North Carolina that at least 84,000 workers are impacted by this, you know, every year, more than 12% of low-wage workers. And we think that it's actually much higher because one of the biggest problems, of course, is chronic underreporting. There is fear of retribution if you do speak out about not being paid. And so we believe that it's actually a far worse problem even than the statistics show.
How do you get to 84,000 as a number?
That is the most recent number I could find that's from based on a report from the Economic Policy Institute that came out in 2017. But the North Carolina Justice Center right over here in Raleigh has some great data that they've reported on from a study a few years ago, and they anyone can look that up online, North Carolina Justice Center, and look for their study on wage theft, and you can get some great information that more pertains to North Carolina.
I can imagine the number being really underreported because, and a lot of people who experience this are people who don't necessarily know in any case who they can pick up the phone and call. And I mean, I personally am. Like, I'm connected to the community. I got the mayors coming on the air every Thursday and Friday. If this happened to me, I don't know who I would pick up the phone and call. So,
sure, yeah. And I mean, there's, and just to be clear, there are several things that you can do,
right?
I mean, so the U.S. Department of Labor is the governmental agency that oversees all of this. And then the North Carolina Department of Labor is also here in North Carolina, and it's though it's the U.S. Department of Labor's role usually to investigate wage theft. But I will say we've had the same labor commissioner in North Carolina for more than 15 years now, Sherry Berry. Everyone may recognize her photo
from the elevators.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, it turns out her office has sued employers for wage issues only 35 times in her 15-year stint. So that is about 2.5 times a year. So we see that, you know, the office of our North Carolina Labor Department is not rigorously enforcing these laws. And really, that is another problem that's rampant. I mean, you see, first, there's chronic underreporting. Second, people may not know where to go. Third, if they do know where to go, the issue still is not addressed. We have the Labor Department not doing adequate investigations, not assessing adequate fines. It's hard to file the claims in the first place, and then even if you do, the enforcement is very lax. So that's why you know, we're going to, as an organization that supports grassroots base building and supports low-wage workers, we're going to use whatever tools we have in our toolbox to ensure that every worker is getting paid fairly and it is receiving justice and fairness on the job. Now, that could be legal tools, of course. It could also be public pressure. For example, we had a case, actually a worker who lives in Greensboro named Sergio, and he did some work for a company here in Chapel Hill, Magnum Home Fine Builders, Fine Home Builders. And unfortunately, that Sergio was not paid. And we're talking, you know, close to, you know, upwards of $14,000, if you add in other things, up to $19,000 that he's still owed. Mm. So sometimes all it takes is talking to the employer to bring about a resolution. Now, we do not yet have a resolution in this case. We are still hoping for one. But, you know, we are willing to take public action. And we actually showed up, you know, 50 people showed up to let that employer know that this community, and I live in Carrboro, and, you know, I believe it's all of our responsibilities to stand up for workers in our community. And so, and to say that this is not acceptable, and whether it's your low-wage employer that you're stiffing, or employee that you're stiffing, or a contracted worker that you are failing to pay, you know, this is our community. So we have a responsibility to step up, and especially when our governmental institutions aren't doing their jobs, then it really is up to us to make sure that everyone in our community is treated fairly.
And that public action you mentioned was just this past weekend, right, on Saturday.
Yes.
Yeah, how did that
mm-hmm.
go?
Yeah, it was great. There's a lot of people in this community who care about justice for workers and who care about making sure that folks get fairness. So we delivered, we hand-delivered invoices to this company.
It's a big novelty size invoice, right?
Yeah, some pretty big signs. And we had members of the religious community there, local pastors here who were speaking out and saying that this is a moral issue. The payment of your workers is a moral issue. And we're going to continue to talk about it and continue to stand up to folks who do not pay fairly.
Speaking with Lori Kamala again, Sanctuary Everywhere Initiative, North Carolina Immigration Rights Program, American Friends Service Committee, and AFSC.org is the website for the committee there. And we're mentioning 84,000 people, give or take, and probably a lot more than that in North Carolina, experience this every single year. Are there particular segments of the population that are disproportionately affected, different occupations, demographic groups?
Sure. The primary industries that are impacted by wage theft are your what you think of as typical low-wage industries, including retail and service workers, food service, of course, restaurants, bars, tipped workers can constitute a huge population of folks who are routinely violated for their wages, home health care aides, and construction. We see a lot of violations in all of these industries. And again, wage theft can take many, many forms. I think one of the concerning things is that of these four industries that I just mentioned, many of these industries are, the trend is that these are the biggest growing industries in our state. This is something we really do need to pay attention to. Wage theft can impact all workers, regardless of your background, regardless of the language that you speak or your race or your language or your national origin. Of course, we do see in even more rampant violations, in particular with undocumented workers, because there are folks who are even more afraid to speak up based on fear of retaliation. But so one of the things that was different about this case that I shared about on Saturday is that Sergio was brave enough to step up and speak out and go public. And I think that's going to take more people stepping up and going public to talk about their issues so that we can also send a message as a community, again, that we as a community are not going to accept this.
That's a really significant step to not just to speak up and to speak out and to raise concerns and complaints, because I think a lot of us complain to each other about our jobs, especially if we experience something like this, but to then take the next step beyond that, which is a huge step, and actually make it public is really significant.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, I guess there's probably, you know, folks who are listening to the show who are victims of wage theft. So, you know, you do have the option to contact the Department of Labor. You do have the option to, in some cases, to bring about a private lawsuit. And you do have the option to get some friends together and actually go and challenge your employer, because we do have rights in this state. And we're going to, and there are people in the community who will stand up beside you to do that.
Is this a problem that's getting worse?
I don't have data about if it's getting worse or not, but I can tell you anecdotally, I've been working with low-wage workers in North Carolina for 15 to 20 years now. And I can tell you that when I started out after college in my first internship, I was learning about wage theft at that time, and I was learning about all of the workers that are cheated of their wages, and here I am today, and it's still a problem.
Speaking with, again, Lori Kamala, Interim National Coordinator, Sanctuary Everywhere Initiative, among many other hats that you wear. What are the steps that can be taken to address this? I'm sure there's legislation, there's things that we as individuals can do.
Sure. I mean, there have been organizations that have been trying to actually pass some state legislation related to ensuring that wage theft is not so common, so we can continue to press for that sort of legislation. We need to support unions in our state. We need to support worker protections so that people are protected and not just, on their own. I think that's one of the things that also, we in our organization, we mainly focus on immigrant rights in the area around the Triad and some in the Triangle as well. But we also know that these are, you know, worker issues are things that really unite many different communities. Black workers, immigrant workers, low-wage white workers, all of these communities are facing very similar issues in a state like North Carolina that's very anti-labor. And so we all need to step up and create a climate in our state that says we're going to support workers, we're going to pay folks higher wages, we're going to support the Fight for 15, we're going to support, the different initiatives that are going on, and we're not going to accept this poor treatment of workers, because these are folks in our community. You know, we've all been there at one time. We have family members who are working low-wage jobs. We have neighbors who are working low-wage jobs. We may be working low-wage jobs ourselves. So we need to step up. Support unions, support improved legislation, support increased enforcement, because right now there is not much of an incentive for employers to abide by the wage laws. There's very little penalty. So if that's another piece of it, if we can increase that penalty and enforcement, then it could go a long way to providing some incentive for employers to actually do what they need to do.
In terms of governmental action, should the priority be new legislation, or is it stronger enforcement of laws that are already on the books? I'm sure it's both, but...
Right. I think it's hard to tell. I mean, we need all of those things. I think our current legislature is in a position in which we're unlikely to get either increased enforcement or improved legislation. So I would say right now, you know, let's work to build up our labor movement, support unions, and take collective action. Get your friends together. Get your pastor with you. Find an organization who's willing to support, and go and take action as a collective. We have so much more power than we realize, and sometimes all it takes is just letting someone know that this is not okay, or that you're, someone's watching, and it could make a difference.
I got to wrap up here in a second. What are some of the steps that people can take? What organizations are out there? How can people get involved? What do they need to do? And what else do people need to know?
Sure. Please feel free to contact us at afsc.org. As you mentioned, afsc.org/Greensboro for our local office. And then we're also on Facebook, afsc.org, or facebook.com/afscnc. And we want you to continue. If somebody does have an issue around wage theft, please take the steps to go ahead and file that complaint with the Department of Labor, because those records are important. But don't expect everything to be solved that way. Get some friends together. Go speak to your employer. There are organizations in the area. There's also private attorneys in the area who are supportive. So there are lots of options, and there's a lot folks can do. We hope that there will be increased incentives for employers to fulfill their obligations. And we also ask others in the community to step up. There's a lot in this area, especially. There's tons of actions and activities that you can participate in. check us out on Facebook. We post our stuff there regularly, and other organizations as well. The El Centro Hispano Worker Center is over in Carrboro. You know, they've got some good stuff going on, and there's all kinds of folks in the area. So just do a little digging, and you'll find a lot.
And again, AFSC.org is the website. That's American Friends Service Committee, AFSC.org. Get online and find out more. Lori Kamala, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.